Hi everyone, welcome back to the 21 and Sensory podcast with me, Emily. On today's episode, it's going to be me, which sounds ridiculous, like I'm going to be on my own podcast, but technically it's my podcast. Anyway, think of me as the guest, everybody. So sometimes I get DMs asking for like a rambly slash catch up episode. I feel like some people potentially enjoy me rambling and giving like life updates and stuff. Like, I guess if you're interested in me as a person, it might be interesting to know what I'm up to, rather than me just like having other guests on. So I do get that. But yeah, this is one of those episodes. And I was just having a look on Spotify, and the last catch up I did was in May 2022, which was like episode 57. So yeah, that was a long time ago. That was like a year ago. But yeah, I thought it would be interesting to start this podcast off with a quick Q&A. So I put on Instagram, I think I put it on Twitter and on YouTube, literally just a post saying any questions. And I got a few, so I've picked a handful, and I thought, why not do some kind of like rapid fire questions to start this podcast off, like stuff you guys want to know about me, or I don't know, any interests I have and stuff like that. Okay, so first one is, are you a dog or a cat person? I am 1,000,000% a dog person. You might already know this. I'm obsessed with sausage dogs and I one day hope to own one. So yeah, definitely a dog person. I think I might be allergic to cats. I'm not sure. I haven't been near a cat in a while, but I tend to get like a really bad like stuffy nose, and I don't know if that's an allergy to cats. But anyway, so yeah, definitely dog person. I don't love cats. I'm sorry to any cat people out there. I'm sorry. Okay, second question. Have you read or watched A Kind of Spark? Great question. Heard a lot about A Kind of Spark. Now, I read the book maybe say like a year ago, potentially, and loved it. Brilliant book. And I think I might have posted about it on my Instagram, potentially. But yeah, loved the book. But I haven't watched A Kind of Spark yet. I'm kind of in a weird mental health place, and I'm kind of avoiding TV at the moment and films because I get triggered by like any emotion, whether it's happy or sad. But I do want to watch it. I know it's like a children's program, so I know there's not going to be like masses of triggering stuff in it, but yeah, I'm just gonna wait until I'm in a better headspace to watch it, and be able to take it on board. So yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it. I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen like the behind the scenes clip that Elle has done, and the interviews they've done with all the cast and crew, and how they've made it an accessible set to work on in terms of being autistic. So that was really lovely to see. So yeah, I will definitely be watching it at some point. Okay, the next question is, how many fidgets do you have in total? That's a really good question, and I don't actually know an exact number. So I've got a little tray of them next to me, so there's probably about 10 in there. Yeah, and then I've got like a little set of drawers, like 5 little drawers. And then like a big desk drawer full of them. I don't know. I feel like maybe between maybe 50, maybe more than that, maybe like 60 or 70 maybe. Just because I've like some I've bought, some I've been kindly gifted, some I've kind of bought secondhand, but I've recently kind of donated quite a few of them because nobody needs that many fidgets. So I would say maybe around 50, which sounds like a lot, but they are relatively small. I love that I'm just trying to like play it down. So yeah, I'm gonna say maybe 50 or 60 potentially in total across different places and stuff. Okay, next question. What's your favorite fidget and chewy gem in your collection? Okay, so I think the fidget that I gravitate towards the most is a Tangle. I know a lot of people love Tangles. I always have one in my coat pocket, and I have a few different ones, like some legit, genuine tangles and some really not. I have a mini slinky or little like wacky tracks. I like those. Partial to a simple dimple. I realise I'm just listing fidgets now. Right, I think my favourite fidget is a tangle. And my favourite chewy gem, that's a tricky one. I quite like the kind of star-shaped smooth one that they do. I'll link it in the show notes just because it's a really nice like texture. And I have it in turquoise. So I do quite like that one. That's my favourite chewy gem necklace. But my favourite chewy gem fidget is probably the like hand fidget spinner. It's, again, I'll link it in the show notes so you can see what I'm talking about. It's like a little handheld silicon fidget with a little kind of ball in the middle that you can spin. It's just really satisfying. So, yeah, those are my favourites. What age were you diagnosed with autism? I was diagnosed as autistic age 25. So that was in November 2019. I'm currently 28, but soon to be 29. So, yeah, I've known since I was 25, but I did know that I had sensory processing difficulties from kind of primary school age, like age 8, so I kind of had an awareness of the sensory side of things before I was diagnosed as autistic. Also, I've done a whole episode on my autism diagnosis. I believe it's episode 16. If you go back, it's quite a long episode, and it goes from the very start of like my life. If you want to know more about it, go look for that episode. I think it's episode 16 or 17, so yeah, quite a while ago. Okay, what does your daily routine look like? Love your podcast, by the way, thank you so much. My daily routine, I guess this has changed a bit, and when you listen to the rest of this podcast it will make sense why. But I've started to use an app called, I think it's called Structured, or is it Structure? Hang on, I'm doubting myself, hang on. Structured. And it's almost like a kind of, it's basically like a planner app, but you can like move, it's almost like time blocking your day kind of thing. And you can move the kind of blocks around and create your own routines, basically. So that's what I've kind of been doing to sort of fill my day, which again, it will make more sense when you listen to the rest of this podcast, because there's more updates about my life and stuff. But yeah, that's keeping me like more accountable, I would say. And I need structure, and I need the distraction of work, so having it visual really helps. I also like write to-do lists in my little Muji. I have like a weekly planner that I always use. It's A5 size, and I think I've kept a Muji weekly planner for the past like 3 or 4 years. I really recommend them. Like, you can see the week view, and then there's like a monthly view at the front. Gotta love Muji planners. So I'm hoping that kind of, I'm not sure if that answered it. What does your daily routine look like? I don't know that I do, like, I try and wake up around the same time. I'm always kind of awake relatively early-ish, and I think breakfast is my favourite meal of the day, so I'll probably have like granola with fruit most days, and then I'll make a tea and then get started with any like bits and pieces that I need to do, like work-wise or 21 and sensory-wise, freelance-wise. Again, this will make sense in a bit. And then I just try and kind of plan out my day in segments, if that's like editing, I don't know, podcasts I've done with people, or doing like freelance graphic design work, because I'm a graphic designer. And just kind of blocking out my day a bit. So yeah, I hope that makes a bit more sense. I don't have any kind of like set stuff that I do, if that makes sense, like in terms of timing. And then the last question that I got was, I'd be interested to hear any life updates / things you've been thinking about. So Just a pre-warning in this podcast, there's a lot of life updates, considering that it's only been a year since I last did an updatey kind of podcast. Some are good, some are bad, or not bad, some are just change, you know, that thing, change, that is horrible. I'll leave the life updates to, you'll hear those in a minute, but things I've been thinking about. Things I've been thinking about is, I don't know, just life in general, the big picture, what I want to be when I grow up, but I'm almost 30, well, I'm going to be 29, what do I want to do when I grow up, and just kind of stuff, like, almost kind of considering, like, jobs I'd like to do and stuff, and like industries I'd like to get into. Like, I'd love to be able to do like voiceover work or radio work. I used to volunteer at my local hospital when I was a teenager, and I was taught how to do kind of radio bits and pieces and like host my own shows, which I really loved. So I'd like to be able to get back into that sort of thing, I think. And I guess having this podcast is like having my own little radio show. I don't get paid for this, and it is only me. So it'd be nice to be paid for my voice work. Other than that, I don't know. I try not to think too far ahead because it's a bit daunting and overwhelming. I think I've just been thinking about my mental health a lot. And there's a bit of an update about that as well. I'm gonna let you listen to the rest of the podcast, because the amount of times I've said this is coming later, you can now actually listen to that bit. So enjoy. A lot has changed, I would say, maybe for the better and maybe for the worst. That sounds so dramatic, doesn't it? I just want to apologise, because you might hear planes going over. Like, I'm under a flight path where I live, so sorry. Where shall I start? I've actually written a list, because I love a list. I kind of want to do like a job update, I think, and maybe a mental health update. I don't know what other updates I could give, maybe like stuff I've been working on and things like that, maybe. And maybe just rants in general. So let's get into it. Okay, so I'm gonna start with job update, because I feel like I have been getting questions about it, and it's not something that I've really been like talking about and stuff like that. So in episode 57, I left the company that I was at because they wouldn't promote me, and they didn't really understand my difficulties, and also there wasn't any like career prospects in terms of like growth. There were a few things there, but I'd been there for 5 years. And then I said that I got a new job, which I did, and so I started that job, I think it was June, May. Yeah, May was the catch-up podcast. I started the job the next month. I started that job in June as a graphic designer again, the same as my previous job. And yeah, it was terrifying. It was really scary to start somewhere new, but luckily someone else new was starting with me, so we were kind of both in the same boat, which I quite liked, in terms of like both being new to stuff and like how the company worked. Anyway, so it was going like well. This sounds dramatic. Like, it's not going to be that dramatic. But anyway, it was going well, and I only had to go into the office like once every 2 to 3 weeks, if that kind of thing. So that was working better for me. It was like properly like fully remote. Apart from like the few times I needed to go in, maybe like once or twice a month even ish. And we were like getting places in terms of like sorting out like the branding and stuff, because I was in like a creative team. And then so I was coming up to my 6-month probation, and so was the other person who started with me. And then we were told in the first week of December that we might be being made redundant, which is not ideal because like this company was quite understanding of me being autistic and the processing issues I had, and like they asked about reasonable adjustments and stuff like that, and I was like, yes, this company get it. And then like I think it was like a week before my 6 month probation meeting, which was just a Zoom meeting, it wasn't anything like massively formal, they were like, you're at risk, kind of thing. So that sucked, because we were like really getting places, and like it was coming up to Christmas, and you know, no one wants to be like worrying about their job in the new year, etc. It was kind of stressful, but I think because we were told so early, we kind of knew as a team that we weren't going to be here in the new year, and that's what happened. So in January I was made redundant from the job that I started in June, and it was really odd because the week after I had my probation meeting, like after the week after we were told we were being like made redundant for sure. And my manager was like, so, Emily, you've passed your probation. And I was like, great, this is meaningless because I'm not going to have a job in January. however, it did give me like better redundancy pay because I'd passed my probation. I'd never been made redundant before, like at my previous company. There was like a round of redundancies, but I wasn't ever at risk. So this was my like first time being made redundant, but there was someone else I was talking to who was like, oh, this is like my fourth redundancy, and I was like, Christ, that is a lot. So if you don't know what the term redundancy means, it's like, I don't know what the best way to describe it is. Basically, I guess like if the company isn't really doing very well, it's like they lay off people, so you're told if you're at risk, like if your job isn't like needed anymore, even if it is kind of still needed, but anyway, and then you get like a redundancy payment based on like a lot of different things, like how long you've been there, like the salary you're on, that sort of thing. So since January 31st I have been unemployed for the first time like ever, because right from university I was in a job like straight away, and I never really have gaps because I'm like rubbish at like taking holidays or doing things with free time, so like most of my jobs have had like maybe a week or two between them, kind of thing. So that happened, which was not ideal, and obviously not ideal. And in January, like, I was struggling, like, mental health-wise. We'll get onto mental health in a minute. But I was struggling anyway, not just because I was, like, being made redundant. So I'm currently job searching. which, it is a shame because I feel like I liked my manager and I liked my team and, like, colleagues and stuff. And I am looking again for like a pretty remote job, like hopefully fully remote, would be ideal. And again, one's understanding of me being autistic. That's kind of the predicament I'm in at the moment. I've been doing like freelance design stuff on the side, so I've been doing a little bit more of that and things. That was that. In terms of mental health, my mental health has been really weird. So I kind of like want to discuss it because you might have noticed that on like social media I've not been as like active or done as many drawings and stuff like that. And there's a very specific reason as to why. And it's very weird to explain. So basically, I think a couple of years ago I started really struggling with something called dissociation. Let me have a look. I want to actually like inform you guys as to what it actually is. So many people actually experience dissociation or will like dissociate during their life. So if you kind of disassociate, you may feel disconnected from yourself and the world around you. So you might feel like really detached from your body, or feel like the world around you like is unreal. And there's different kind of types of like dissociative disorders. It's like a group of like conditions, I think. And they're usually kind of associated with maybe past trauma or like stressful situations and things. So there are several different types of dissociative disorder. And the three main types are depersonalization, derealization disorder, which you might have seen as it's shortened to DPDR. And there's also dissociative amnesia and dissociative identity disorder. So I struggle with the DPDR, so depersonalization and derealization disorder. And it's slowly been getting worse. I would say from October 2022, it really started ramping up. So I explained how it came on like a couple of years ago. Like, it was almost like I was experiencing like flashes of not feeling real. So one example I have is I used to notice when I was brushing my teeth that my hands didn't feel like my own, like my arms and my limbs felt really separate from me for like a few seconds, which is a really weird thing to describe to try and describe to someone if you're like struggling with it. Yeah, so that's how it started. And I can't say there wasn't anything traumatic happening to me or anything like that. I think I'm always stressed. I'm autistic, and the world stresses me. But I couldn't like label an exact like thing that started it off kind of thing. It just started to happen. So I would say initially I was struggling with depersonalization for the first 2 years, which was like I didn't feel real in my body. I felt like I was looking down on myself or like over my shoulder at myself. Whereas now I have both depersonalization and derealization. So I feel separate from myself, but also separate from the environment that I'm in, which is really scary. Scary is the word I would use, because like I don't feel real, but I know I'm real. And it's the weirdest thing to describe. And I remember talking to my mum about it and being like, I just don't feel real. I don't feel like I'm here. I don't feel like I'm making memories. I don't feel like I'm remembering anything. Like, I just don't feel like present in the moment. And I don't want to go outside because it brings on really bad like derealization. Like, when I'm outside, I don't feel like I'm outside. I feel like nothing can like hurt me, like nothing. Like, it just feels like really weird, like I'm not real in the world. So yeah, I've been struggling with that since October, and it's every day. And it's, I think it's actually like tiring my brain out as well. And it is restricting me from doing things. So the reason why I haven't been doing stuff online and stuff is because there's certain stuff that like triggers it even more, or like brings it on even more. So a few of those things, oh, hang on, I've actually written a list. Would it make more sense to read from the list again? So I can do the following with some or without any dissociation. So I can read a book, I can work on my laptop, and I've also realised that having my eyes shut and obviously sleeping means that it doesn't like bring it on. So I kind of feel like it is to do with like my visual sense. But I can't do the following things without having dissociation. So being outside my home, being out and about, I can't wash my hands, do cooking, drawing, writing, watching TV, going out in a restaurant or a cafe, even things like packing my dog and driving, they all bring on the dissociation, or I can't do them without dissociation. Yeah, so it's a struggle, and I don't really know why it started, and yeah, it's weird, and there's not really that much like online about it. And I also like started to struggle because like I felt like my voice had become separate from me. Like I can hear myself talking and I'm like, oh, I'm talking. Like, how weird is that? How weird does that sound? So I started looking online, as you do in this this world. You go online first. And I kind of realised that there wasn't a lot of, like, help out there. There's one UK charity called Unreal Charity, and you might have seen, like, Dodie, the singer, is like an ambassador for them, because I think Dodie also struggles with dissociation, etc. But other than that, I can't really find that much information apart from like NHS and like Mind, which is a mental health charity. And I'll pop all these links in the show notes in case you do want to read more about it, or in case, you know, you might be, you know, looking after someone who is struggling with this. I think it does help to read around it. So in terms of like help and support, this is something I've been struggling with as well. Everything is a struggle. That sounds dramatic again, but I just, like, my GP didn't want to know. And I was under a secondary care service within the NHS who were helping me with like medications and stuff. And they were so hard to contact, especially when I was struggling. They just like would never pick up their phone. And I didn't really have anyone to go to for help. And because I was under this service, the GP was like, you're under that service, so you need to go through them. I'm like, but the service aren't engaging with me whatsoever. And like they cancel appointments and then couldn't give me one for another like 3 or 4 months. And I understand the NHS is like overstretched, but I was meant to have an appointment in July last year, and it got just a telephone appointment, by the way, like an hour telephone call. And it was meant to be in July, and it was postponed to the end of October and then rescheduled for the start of November. So, but that was the only support that I had. So it just wasn't like regular enough. So in January, I had done a lot of research into like dissociation and stuff, and I asked to be referred to like a service in London that is more like specialist. And I got a call from my GP. They have like a mental health practitioner who works within the like surgery, within the practice. And she was like, yep, totally understand why you want to go to someone that actually understands dissociation and stuff. But we have to prove that locally, like local services can't help you before we refer you, because obviously it would need funding, etc. So then I got, this is like last week, I've been referred to a primary care service. But that means like I was due a secondary care phone call, and an hour before they cancelled it saying, oh, you're under a different service now. And I was like, oh, yeah, so I'm back to square one again. Anyway, so now I'm in a bit of a predicament because obviously NHS-wise, there are waiting lists, and I've had like an initial kind of assessment where I explained the dissociation, and obviously they're aware I'm autistic, etc. But now I have to wait for like a proper like psychological evaluation, and then like a referral to like a dissociation service that I believe is within like the county that I live in, kind of thing. That's what I've been told. They've said there's a waiting list, but they can't tell me how long the waiting list is. Yeah, so that's where I'm stuck at the moment. And they were like, what do you kind of want to get from this? And I was like, well, I just need ongoing support. I need someone to talk to, whether that's a service or a person, because I can't keep going on like this. Like, I don't even have anyone to touch base with, like, apart from my mum. So yeah, that's where I'm at now. It's a waiting game, as always. Like, at the moment, it's tricky. Like, I don't have a job and I don't feel real. And that's not ideal. And no one wants to be in that kind of weird situation. And I'm kind of worried, like, I was talking to my mum because she came to the, like, initial assessment with me. Like, I'm kind of worried how I will be if I do get a job, which would be great. But if I do get a job, but I still feel the same way, like, I still, like, feel really like I'm disassociating. So, yeah. And like I said, there's stuff that I can't do, or there's stuff that I put off doing. Like I'm a graphic designer and an illustrator, and I don't want to draw at the moment because my hands don't feel like my hands. They feel totally separate to me. And when I have them out in front of me, it just, like, triggers it. And to the extent that now, like, when I wash my hands, I don't look at my hands, apart from, obviously, when I put soap on them. Like, when I'm rinsing my hands kind of thing. Like, I do, like, I try my hardest not to look at my hands or, like, my legs. So it's really weird. And I think, from what I've read, a lot of kind of research and kind of articles and stuff, and just kind of some people in general sort of group it within, like, psychosis, which is actually a different mental health condition. But I appreciate that they have, like, some things that overlap. So in terms of, like, dissociation, some people might get, might see things or potentially hear things, but that also overlaps with psychosis as well. But actually they're two very different things and might have come on for very, like, different reasons. So that was kind of interesting. And yeah, I've just been kind of reading about, like, what brings it on and stuff. So for me, they don't really know what's brought it on, but it can be drug induced. I've seen people online who have taken edibles, or who have maybe smoked weed, and that has brought it on. And that wasn't something I was aware of. I've never done drugs, but it was interesting to, like, read that as, like, understanding what could bring it on. And also, like, PTSD as well, and, like, trauma related things can bring it on. So it's just understanding the different things that can bring it on and the different experiences people have. But I will link all the stuff that I mentioned below. Like, Unreal Charity is a really good place to start. And I think they do, like, a peer support group as well. I would say that is my main mental health struggle at the moment. Like, I've always struggled in terms of anxiety and depression. But it's only kind of, you know, recently the dissociation, like, depersonalization, derealization has really, like, kicked in and taken over. And, yeah, if anyone has any, like, top tips or has struggled with it and have any good coping mechanisms, I really appreciate if you message me, DM me online. And also, if you do experience this, I'm really sorry, because it's horrible. I wouldn't wish it upon anyone, because you just massively don't feel real. And it's the weirdest thing to try and explain, and I have every sympathy for you, and I hope it gets better. Okay, positive things, people. So, I've been looking after more sausage dogs recently, and it is the best thing ever. So, I am looking after some friends' sausage dogs. They have two, and they're super cute. They are both, like, 13 years old. I think they've just turned 13. So they're getting a little bit old and a little bit clicky. but it's been great. Like, I just go and, like, dog sit them in their house. Yeah, it just really makes me want to have my own sausage dog. But my current landlord will not let me have a sausage dog. well, not specifically a sausage dog, just doesn't allow pets. So that's why I go and dog sit at other people's houses. And then my sister has a colleague who needed her sausage dog looking after, and I've looked after her a couple of times, and she's so cute. I think she's like 2 years old, and she's a miniature Dachshund, so she's tiny, but she's so cute, and she brings me her fleeces when I walk in the door, like multiple fleeces. It's really cute. She's like, look at all my fleeces, like little jumpers. So that's quite cute. And I've taken her for a walk out like nearby. There's like a big like green space that I can walk her on. So that's been good. And that's kind of been the only thing that's really getting me out other than my family. I don't like going outside at the moment. It terrifies me. And I know that's ridiculous because I know I can do it and I do it to like look after the sausage dogs. But if that sausage dog incentive isn't there, then like I won't just go out for a walk. And I don't want to see anyone or do anything. So that's a bit of a struggle at the moment, but the sausage dogs are keeping me going and I love having their company, and I just kind of feel like they're like little weighted lap pads, which are toasty and like pats, so you know, what's not to love. I've been enjoying that recently. I have struggled because like obviously if I don't feel real, like having a dog in front of me doesn't feel real because I don't feel like I'm real in a space. So I just have to kind of like grit my teeth and just bear with it. But it is something, it's not even something, it's like the only thing I look forward to at the moment is going to sausage sit. I have been reading quite a lot. I'm going to have a look at the books I have read and talk through some of them. Why not? Okay, so I have set myself a challenge of reading 25 books this year, and last year, last year my goal was to read 20 and I read 25. Okay, so I started the year on a solid Richard Osman book. So The Bullet That Missed, which is the third Richard Osman book. I really like his books. I just think they're quite, I don't know, just like a little safe space to like indulge in. And they're kind of based in England and they give me very kind of English vibes and I just find them really funny. I would definitely say read those books. I think there's a fourth one coming out later this year. And then I also read What I Want to Talk About, How Autistic Interests Shape a Life by Pete Warmby. You might remember Pete was on my podcast a while ago, so go back and listen to that. I interviewed him before the book came out, so he was talking a little bit about like writing it and the process of getting published. So it's a good one to go back and listen to. And it was really interesting to just like learn more about his special interests. Like he's massively into Lego, massively into Minecraft. It's just really interesting to see, I don't know, where his passions lie. And then last week I finished reading Mortimer and Whitehouse Gone Fishing. If you guys haven't watched Gone Fishing, it's so good. So it's an English program by Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse. They're like old school comedians, like English comedians, and they both had heart troubles. And I think Paul Whitehouse is like a keen fisher. And he realised that Bob Mortimer wasn't getting out and about after he had heart surgery, and Paul Whitehouse had already had like some heart troubles, so he knew how important it was to get out and about. So he was like, come fishing with me. And then I think they realised after a little bit, like, you know, this could be a really interesting TV series, like a really, it's almost like a cozy watch kind of thing. Yeah, so it's called Gone Fishing. I think it's like 5 series, and I still need to watch the latest series. But they just go like fishing all around the UK, and it's funny, and they have a cute dog, Ted, that sometimes comes with them. And like, I'm not into fishing, okay? And I've never been fishing, ever. But I love this program. It, like, you don't need to have any knowledge, but you do like learn things along the way. So yeah, this started with, I'm reading the book. So yeah, I'm reading the book. It's really interesting. It gives you a bit more like history about fishing, but also about like how they started and how like Bob Mortimer used to fish when he was a child, and like relationships with like both their like fathers and stuff. And it's just really nice. So yeah, really recommend the book. Massively recommend the series. It's just a really nice watch, and you get to see lots of different like rivers around the UK and lots of different like countryside spots. And then Bob always picks like a really random but like magical Airbnb to stay in. Oh my god, it's so good. Like, they stay in like all sorts of weird like cabins, castles, like old like cool trailers, like magical looking trailers and things. You just have to watch it, guys, okay? And if you do, let me know if you like it. Maybe I should stick with TV stuff after this, like talk about other TV stuff I've watched. And then the book I read next after that was called The Reading List, which is by Sarah Nisha Adams, and it's a really good book. I really enjoyed it. It's about like a chance encounter with a list of library books and how it kind of forges an unlikely friendship between two very different people in a London suburb. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But it's a really good book. I really enjoyed it. And the next book I'm reading, which I started a few days ago, is also based around libraries. I don't know how I've managed to kind of fall into the niche of libraries, but it's called The Last Chance Library by Freya Sampson. I'm really enjoying it so far. It's about a lady called June Jones, and she works for her local library, but she's having to fight to keep it open because the council want to shut it. And it's in this like really sleepy English village where she grew up and where her mum also worked. So yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, again, quite cozy vibes again. So yeah, I'm really enjoying that too. TV. Now, I keep a list of stuff I'm watching in Notion because I am that cool. Okay, what have I been watching? I started watching The Office, the US version, because I have watched the UK version before. Oh my god, it's brilliant. I love it. It's like a safe, you know, like you get safe foods for autistic people. This is like a safe TV series. So yeah, I'm really enjoying that, and there's just loads of it to watch, so it's kind of keeping me going. I watched Happy Valley, which is very good. I watched it when it like first came out, so that was really good. What else have I been watching? My friend Sophie, don't know if you're listening, Sophie, hi if you are, she recommended Drive to Survive, which is the Formula One like Netflix documentary. Oh my god, I'm obsessed. Like, I think I'm already on season 3 or 4. I think season 3. Yeah, anyway, it's really good. And like, obviously there's some dramatization, there's some hyping up of things that probably in reality weren't that dramatic in the moment, but it's so interesting, like just kind of obviously the sport itself, but also how like everything from their personality and stuff like that, like how like the drivers are kind of engineered to be a certain way. And I also think Daniel Ricciardo is, it just seems like such a nice person. I love how like jokey he is and how like, I don't know, he's just his own person. I feel like he's cool. Anyway, so yeah, I recommend that. Again, lots to watch of it. And I have recently rewatched BBC Sherlock because I just love Sherlock. It's so good. I feel like every so often I'll be like, oh, I have not watched this in a while and I really enjoy it. So yeah, I've almost finished Sherlock. It's like some of the like just the way it's edited. I think I remember, like studying some of the episodes within my like A-level media studies class, like the way it was edited and like the shot types and things, and that's really like stuck with me. But I just love how they like edit in all the graphics and stuff and the like wording and his like mind palace stuff, like so cool. Yeah, and then I think other than that, I have started watching Wednesday. I've heard a lot about it. I've watched the first episode. I think it was quite different to what I imagined. But then I didn't really have any expectations. I didn't really know what to expect. So yeah, I will maybe update a little bit more about that once I have watched it all. And have just started watching Ted Lasso as well. Yeah, so those are the multiple things I have watched or am watching. What else have I been enjoying? I've been enjoying my plants. I have so many plants, and I'm currently sat at my desk, and within my reach is 6 plants within my reach. So that shows you how many I have in just very confined areas. But I've managed to keep them all alive, and I'm pretty proud of that. And like some of them got new leaves, and I'm like, yes, keep growing, please. Yeah, so I'm proud of that. It's very hard to restrain myself and not buy any more. I was in Waitrose the other day. Oh, I was getting a very specific vegetable that I needed, and there weren't any in Tesco's or Sainsbury's. This is a very UK problem. At the moment, like vegetables, like specific ones, are really difficult to get. So I had to go into Waitrose, which is not where I usually shop. But oh my God, guys, if you're plant people and you live in the UK, Waitrose have so many plants. Like they have cute little succulents. They have like bigger, like cactuses, and like just like really nice like planters and pots as well. So we definitely recommend going looking in there. And sometimes they like reduce them, like they have the yellow stickers on them. And this leads on nicely to someone that I have recently become obsessed with on Instagram and YouTube. Her name is Plants with Crystal. So her name's Crystal, but that's her username. And she's kind of like known for like going, I think she lives in America, and she's known for like going into places like Lowe's or like, I don't know, other American places you can buy plants, American shops, and like buying the like reduced plants, the ones that are like wilting and pretty much dead. And she just like revives them, and she has like this whole plant room in her house, and it's incredible. I love her content. I love her enthusiasm. She gets so excited about rescuing plants, and she's so funny as well. So yeah, Plants with Crystal, if you don't already. Crystal's with a K. I will link in the show notes. Let me do that. But yeah, I love her content. And like sometimes she does like she's trying to get a plant out of a pot. She'll like karate chop it, but not with her hand, like with her elbow. I don't know if that's called something. But she like proper like whacks it because she's trying to get like if the roots have like grown around and through the pot, it can be really hard to get the pot off. So you kind of like bend the pot a bit. But yeah, it's so funny. It just looks like she's tackling a plant out of a pot. Would recommend. So yeah, plants. You can never have enough of them, I feel personally. Yeah, I like to have one on every surface. I also have the Lego succulent kit, and I have the little LED kit that goes in it. Oh my God, it's so cute. If you Google Lego like succulent set, you'll see what I mean. And then you can buy like, I think it's like a third party like company do like little LEDs you can thread into them. And I have the little set by my TV, and it looks so cute at night because they all like light up different colours. So yeah, that's just a random thing, and who doesn't love Lego? Yeah, how long have I been talking for? Let's have a look. Ooh, 45 minutes. Oh yeah, I've tried to like revive my YouTube channel a little bit. And I posted a like fidget toy tour of every single fidget I own in 2023. So that went live like maybe a couple of weeks ago. So do go check that out. Other than that, I think, so I've had a Redbubble shop for a while, and for some reason, like all of a sudden it started to like pick up, and like more and more people are like buying stickers from it, which is lovely because I never talk about it and I never like promote it. So yeah, I have a few stickers on there, literally a handful, maybe like 3 or 4 stickers on there. So if you'd like a sticker of some of my work, do go check out my Redbubble. Again, I will link it down below. I'm gonna have to link so many things down below. I love that I have to hold myself accountable when I say I'll link it down below, because when I listen back to this to edit this, I'm going to need to write down all these links. So I think that is pretty much an update of my life. The best way I can describe it is I'm on the struggle bus, and there are no bus stops, there's no getting off. But at some point in the future, maybe there will be. And if you're also on the struggle bus, I feel you, because it's not nice. And it's hard to not compare yourself to other people. I know I've talked about this a lot in previous podcasts, like compare your life to people of a similar age, and things like that. It's really hard not to, and social media is not helping. But yeah, just keep doing your best. That's all anyone can ever ask of you. And I'm going to keep hanging on in there, and hopefully I'll be back to doing some more drawings soon. I've got a couple that I did before, like this stuff started to kick in more, so I may well put those up at some point. But yeah, I hope everyone is doing okay. Yeah, if you're on the struggle bus, I get you. And yeah, maybe I'll do another catch up soon. Yeah, maybe when I get a job, or when I next have an update on like disassociation stuff, I'll do another catch up. But yeah, let me know if you liked this podcast. If you're still listening to the end, you are amazing. Thank you. I was going to say something else. Oh yeah. On Spotify, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, actually, you can like star rate podcasts. So I would love it if you could do that. It doesn't require as much effort as like leaving a review. So you literally just like, you have the option to like go from 1 star to 5 stars, and then that's it. Like, you don't have to type anything. So if you could do that, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, I would absolutely love that. No worries if not. And yeah, I will see you guys, soon. Bye.